From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday, April 26th, 2016. I really hope you guys are having a fantastic start to your week, and we hope to brighten it up a bit as we have a fun-filled show today, okay? I'm pretty excited about our guest on today's show. She is a dear friend. We go way back, folks. We actually went to Michigan State University together, and she has always been a talented dancer. So much so that she has just completed her second year on the NBA's Detroit Pistons dance team, okay? Now, we're going to invite her to the show. Her name is Erin Edwards, and she will be diving into the lifestyle of a professional basketball dance team. And we'll also touch on some topics like, is the wage livable? Also, what is the lifestyle like? What are the do's and don'ts? It's going to be very interesting. So we'll go off the beaten path on today's show and invite Erin to the hour around 1:30. You don't want to miss that. We will also have plenty of NBA playoff chatter. Also, the Detroit Tigers finally getting a dub after, of course, prior to embarking on a four-game losing streak. And there was a moment that has the sports world talking. And a moment that you just shake your head and say, really? Did he just do that? So you'll find out what that moment was in just a second. Also, on the back end of the show, we will talk about, yes, and I thought we were done with this topic for good. But no, yeah, a judge has decided to reinstate Tom Brady's four-game Deflategate suspension. We'll talk about that, folks. And also, it's Tuesday. We'll have Tickle Tuesday. What have been the funniest moments in the sporting world since last week, all right? That and so much more. You know our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners again for this April 26th. All right, we start with some fantastic news concerning the Michigan State women's golf team. Get this, folks. After missing out on the regionals last year for the first time since 1998, the Michigan State women's golf team is heading back to NCAA regionals once again. Currently ranked number 44 by Golf Week, the Spartans have made it to the regional 17 of the last 18 seasons. The Spartans are a number 11 seed in the NCAA Stanford Regional and will play in Stanford, California on May 5th to the 7th. Congratulations to that squad. They are so good. All right, the Michigan Athletic Program has now formally signed, get this, a deal with Nike. The 11-year term is worth $127.12 million. That's a lot of money. That's $53.52 million in cash payments, $56.8 million in apparel, and $12 million. Yeah, that's a signing bonus slash initial payment. That's a lot of money, all right? Also noteworthy is that the football team and the basketball team will use the Michael Jordan Jumpman brand. Therefore, the Wolverines will become the first Jumpman football program in the country. All right, the Detroit Tigers snapped a four-game losing streak last night with a 7-3 win over the Oakland A's. Now, Miguel Cabrera broke out of a hitting slump with two opposite field homers and had four hits total on the night. Offseason acquisition, Jordan Zimmermann. How good has Jay Zim been, folks? My goodness. He was stellar once again and improved to 4-0 on the hill this year. Now, Detroit center fielder Tyler Collins, he appeared to have lost a fly ball in the Comerica Park lights in the sixth inning last night, allowing it to drop for a double. The Detroit faithful voiced his deep displeasure with Collins with a share of boos, to which Collins then proceeded to flip the crowd the bird. You know what that is, right? It's that finger that you don't put up, all right? We'll play a bite from that in just a second, all right? But just a moment that you just say, really? Really, dude? He did regret it afterwards. You'll hear his post-game comments and so much more on that. You trust, we got some opinions on that one, folks. All right, the NBA has reviewed the final play of the Detroit Pistons' loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers on Sunday and has declared that officials were correct in not calling a foul, on the final shot. Now, down by two in the final seconds, Reggie Jackson threw up a desperation three-point shot that would have won the game as time expired and was bumped by Kyrie Irving. Now, the shot missed, no foul was called, and the game ended. Again, the NBA has looked at it and said that, hey, the no call was the right call. All right, bad news for another California basketball team yesterday as the Los Angeles Clippers have lost guard Chris Paul to a fracture in his right hand during their Game 4 loss to the Portland Trail Blazers last night. Paul will be reevaluated today, but it appears his injury may require surgery, in which that case will most likely allude to him missing the rest of the season for the Clippers. And earlier that day, it was announced that the Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry would be out at least 2 weeks with a sprained right MCL. My oh my, what a difference 24 hours can make. All right, the Detroit Red Wings will have at least five players heading to the World Championships in Moscow and St. Petersburg, Russia, this May. Dylan Larkin and Luke Glendinning will represent Team USA. Timu Pokinen will represent Finland. Pavel Datsyuk and Alexei Marchenko will represent Russia. And Thomas Jurko will play for Slovakia. Now, Justin Applicator will not play for Team USA due to a dislocated finger. And Danny DeKeyser was also asked, but he is getting married over the summer and most likely will not participate. Congratulations, Danny. Big move there, brother. All right, the Chicago Blackhawks will not repeat as Stanley Cup champs. The St. Louis Blues ruined those hopes last night in a wild 3-2 win in Game 7. Former Blackhawk Troy Bauer notched the game winner 8 minutes and 30 seconds into the third period to clinch the series for the Blues. And last but not least, Tiger Woods got back out on the course yesterday for the first time since Wyndham back in August after playing five holes with Mark O'Meara at the opening of a Blue Jack National Golf Club in Montgomery, Texas. Woods said, quote, "I'm definitely a little tired, but I feel pretty good," end quote. He also went on to say that no date has been set for when he expects to play again. Folks, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You know our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show. Yeah, yeah.
Aware of Mark Cuban's comments before the game when he said Kevin was the only superstar on this team, and how do you react to that?
Hold up. He's an idiot. Don't listen to this. He's an idiot. All right, that's what we got to say about that. He's an idiot. Next question.
Before the game, you were out waiting for the opening tip. Charlie Villanueva came out and sort of lingered behind you for a second. Did you know he was back there, and did he say anything, or what was going through your mind?
He said a lot.
He's an idiot, too.
You know, but now he get to go home and do whatever he need to do, get ready for next year to sit down and watch more 82 more games like he did this year.
Might not even be in the league.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. So honored to have you all out there listening on a Tuesday afternoon. Yes, it is Tuesday, folks. And I tell you what, be careful out there because yesterday, was it gorgeous or what? It's been gorgeous since dating back to last week around Thursday or Friday, right? 70 degrees, sun shining, but today it's in the 40s here in mid-Michigan. And it's that weather where you walk out and you think it's nice just like the day before, but it's not, all right? So I'm rocking a hoodie. I got my jacket with me. Be safe out there, all right? And, you know, I always do this, Isaac. Like, every day I do this, dude. I'm trying to make a lifestyle change here. You know, I'm a big, like, workout fanatic now. I at least try to work out at least 5 days a week, right? But, you know, what a lot of people don't get, Isaac, is that there has to be a balance. You can't just work out and expect to immediately start to get healthy, all right? The additive to this is that you have to eat right, all right? And I try so hard to wake up and eat breakfast. But I always wake up and I'm scrambling to get the show ready. I'm doing research. I'm always on the go that I always forget to eat breakfast. And then this happens like every day, dude. When 1 o'clock hits, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden my stomach starts rumbling. I'm surprised people don't hear my stomach talking during the hour, all right? But dude, I am starving right now. Oh, I'm like really starving. Only thing I've had is coffee. That is so unhealthy, man. And again, how you doing, Isaac?
Yeah, I 100% hear you on that issue. I wake up, and the thing is, it's college. You know, there's a certain lifestyle of staying up late and then waking up late, and that really doesn't give me time to eat breakfast in the morning either, which also pushes back the time because I have class in the morning where I can eat lunch. So hopefully after this, I can get a nice 3:30 meal in for the first time today. Until now, I've had a banana and an orange.
I've had nothing.
Well, you're stronger than me.
You're way better than me right now, dude, because, man, I'm like sitting here and I'm like craving a cheeseburger or something, which would be totally unhealthy. A banana sounds good. Something healthy sounds good. But we're going to get through this hour. I am so glad to have you all listening. We've had a great show. What you just heard mixed in with that montage was, of course, the voices of Oklahoma City Thunder NBA stars Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. And, man, I tell you, Russell Westbrook and KD, they do not hold back when it comes to voicing what's on their respective noggins. And, you know, there was a lot of controversy surrounded around last night's NBA slate because a few things happened. First off, Mark Cuban, who owns the Dallas Mavericks organization, he said that the only superstar that is on the Oklahoma City Thunder is Kevin Durant, and that Russell Westbrook is just an all-star. And I always love the dynamic when looking at KD and Russell Westbrook. Whenever there's something bad said about either player, the other always has that player's back. And I absolutely love that. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. And so for me personally, I didn't have a problem with KD's comments on the podium. And I've always said, I mean, I get so tired of the cliche answers in the world of sports after a game or before a game. You know, we got to do this to play right, blah, 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 blah. The same, you can pretty much, you know, going into an NBA postgame interview or a sports postgame interview, I should say, you pretty much know what's going to be said. I mean, you can pretty much guess and you may be right, you know, 8 out of 10 times. So I always appreciate when athletes are just candid, just completely honest. And Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook have been that way throughout most of their careers. So I knew that was coming. I like how KD said, look, Russ, you ain't even got to answer that, dude. Mark Cuban's an idiot. And I do think that Mark Cuban has no idea what he's talking about here. Russell Westbrook is one of the best players in the NBA right now. I kind of have to agree with Kobe when Kobe Bryant said this before his swan song was finished. Kobe Bryant said that, you know, Russell Westbrook is the most athletic player that he's ever played against. And I think Russell Westbrook, when it's all said and done and his career is over, I think Russell Westbrook will go down as the most athletic player, period, in NBA history. He is that good. He is the best player, the best fast break player in the NBA. He's so strong. He's got a great jump shot. And what I love the most about Russell is that he's so competitive. He's uber competitive. So Mark Cuban was just trying to start a pot, knowing that his team was on the brink of elimination, trying to get in the heads of KD and Russ. It didn't happen. Didn't work whatsoever. That series ended last night, 4-1, Dallas only getting one win. And now OKC will move on to play the San Antonio Spurs, who swept the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round. And I know there was also an incident with Charlie Villanueva, former Detroit Pistons player, actually, with Charlie V. And, you know, there's the famous video now. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but of Charlie V. You know, Russell Westbrook, he does this thing where he, like, dances before each and every game. And Charlie V, you know, came right in the middle of his dance routine one night and, like, Russell, like, pushed him away and, like, kept dancing. Nothing big, but, you know. And I love the jab they took at Charlie V. Who knows if he's going to even be playing next year. That's what KD said. So I love that stuff, though. You guys know that I love controversy in the NBA or any sport for that matter. It adds to the competitive flair. It makes you want to tune in and watch. It's not that lovey-dovey, I love you, you love me atmosphere that I feel is taking over most of the National Basketball Association. So I love when the pot is stirred a bit. And I love the comments from KD and Russ. Hey, I didn't see anything wrong with it. And I hear, you know, the purist of the league, so to speak, say, hey, handle it with class. Where's the class there? You know, just brush that off. But every once in a while, I think you got to stand up. You got to stand up and say, no, this wasn't cool. This was not cool at all. So I like that. And again, as I stated in the Quicken Headliners, what a difference a day makes. in less than 24 hours, folks, we saw two breaking stories that allude to two of the biggest stars in the National Basketball Association sitting out due to injury. Now, as I mentioned, Chris Paul of the Los Angeles Clippers, I don't see, he's not returning, let's be honest here. Broke his hand yesterday. His hand got caught in actually the jersey of a player going up for a layup on the break, and he immediately heard a pop, and he went to the sidelines. He was in noticeably angry and in fury, and it was found that he, broke one of his, I believe the medical term is metatarsals, I think it is, so which basically means he broke his hand, all right? I don't see CP3 returning. And also, prior to that news, we heard that Steph Curry, guard of the Golden State Warriors, the best regular season team in NBA history, Steph Curry is going to be out at least 2 weeks because he sprained his MCL against Houston over the weekend. So, you know, now I look at this. Just look at the scenario now for the Golden State Warriors. They're going to go on to probably beat the Houston Rockets, all right? Right now, it's 3-1. I think Golden State will handle business the next game and could put that series. They will move on to play the winner of the Los Angeles Clippers and Portland series. Now, prior to the Chris Paul injury, I thought that LA was going to pull this thing out. But now, you know, Portland won last night. Now, with that being said, and then you had the quad injury that seems to have reemerged when it comes to Blake Griffin, who's the Robin to Chris Paul's Batman. You know, he doesn't look 100% healthy. I don't know if the Clippers are getting out of that first round now. Damian Lillard is playing out of his mind. I think Portland could possibly pull that out. We could be possibly see a Portland Trailblazers versus Golden State Warriors second round, all right? And I think that, you know, without Steph Curry, that's going to be an interesting series. But I've said, when evaluating this, I've said that, I think Golden State is going to end up playing the San Antonio Spurs. But OKC looks like they're on a mission right now. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. There's a lot of question marks out there. And I want to ask Isaac Constance, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Isaac, what do you think about the West? Just discussing the West here, you know, looking at what took place yesterday when it comes to the Chris Paul injury and the injury to Steph Curry. How do you see this whole thing shaking about?
Well, first off, I do want to touch on the KD and Russell Westbrook post-game comments because I've got a different take. I had no problem whatsoever with saying he's an idiot about Mark Cuban. I have no problem whatsoever about saying he's an idiot, too, about Charlie Villanueva. What I do have a problem with is the rest of that press conference because you heard over and over again KD say things like they played fake defense. They came out. They didn't do much. They had so many weaknesses that we exploited. And it's just made me think of the new trend that is Kevin Durant, in that this used to be the guy who cried on the MVP stand after scoring 32 points a game, being the baddest, toughest dude in the NBA because he wanted to thank his mom. And now this is a guy who calls Dwight Howard, a word I can't say on the air, from the sidelines when he's not even playing. He's a guy that regularly is aggressive, abrasive, attacking, calls Detroit, who cares about Detroit?
Right.
This is a new persona for Kevin Durant. I'm not crazy about it. I'm all for in-game competitiveness. I think once you win, though, that is your step up. That is your bragging right. I think after you win a series, it's the victor's place to handle it with grace and with class.
But you know what, Isaac? I've always said this about Kevin Durant when he first came to the league. I mean, he was beloved by everybody. And I still think to a certain degree he is. But I've always said this about KD. KD, you know, going back to that nice guy rant I just went on, I always thought that KD was maybe a little bit too nice. And in many conversations, many people have said that KD doesn't have that killer instinct. You know what I mean? When he first came into the league. Now, you know, with KD taking subtle jabs here and there, you're starting to see a different side of him. I think KD has reached a boiling point, to be honest.
Where
he's gotten so frustrated because he knows that this is an OKC team that should have already had a ring, and he's frustrated that he doesn't have one to the point where he's going to do whatever it takes to get one. And any little thing that rubs him the wrong way, He just doesn't care anymore. He's going to voice his opinion. If you don't like it, hey, whatever. He's going out there to try and win games. He doesn't care what the media and what the press and what the public think of him anymore. And I think that's the type of mentality that maybe he needed to get over that hump. So I think in a way, it's something that made him beloved. He was a nice guy, classy guy, all that good stuff when he first came in the league. He was MVP. We saw him cry at the podium, as you mentioned, when he won the MVP trophy and told the story how he came from nothing, started from the bottom. Now he's here to steal a line from Drake. But now he's sitting there saying, okay, all that other stuff is cool, fine and dandy, but I still have not won a ring. I don't care what you think of me. I'm going out here to do a job. And I like that, to be honest. I love it. I love it, Isaac.
That's fair. Because
is he going to be liked by anybody? But hey, no. You know, but you know, there's superstars in the past that wasn't beloved by everybody. You know what I mean?
No,
you
the best have that. Players in right. the league weren't beloved by everybody. Exactly. Look at MJ. Look at Kobe.
Right.
At
Charles
the same
Barkley,
time.
You go on and on, Gary Payton, all those guys.
But at the same time, some of the best stars were. I just think you have a certain personality type. And when you mess with that, it messes with your play on the floor. And for KD, I point to games like game two of this series. When that was an 85-84 Dallas win. KD shot something like 7 of 32. And
oh, it was
this
horrible,
new
yeah.
aggressive mentality really makes KD feel like he's got to carry all of the burden. He's got to be Mr. Bad Guy going against everybody himself sometimes. I don't think it helps because there have been plenty of nice guys to win rings too. Remember Bill
but,
Russell.
Hold on,
remember
but,
Tim Duncan.
Right. But
remember
stop you right there, Isaac. And I have to just
Magic
you saying
Johnson,
that
yeah.
Are you saying there's a line that's being drawn from Kevin Durant's demeanor and personality to his play on the basketball court?
I think you would make that argument.
No, I don't think. I think it's the same Kevin Durant we've always seen. I just think as far as just from a mentality like I'm going to attack, maybe from an aggressiveness standpoint, but he's always played this way though, is he? He's always jacked up shots like that though. I don't know if I've seen a difference in his play based on his character. I don't know if you can draw that line.
I just
know.
Feel like maybe you can perceive that with certain games, not all the time, but at the same time, I brought up LeBron James when he took on the villain role for the first time when he moved to Miami and everybody absolutely despised him because, of course, he abandoned his home city or however you want to look at it. But he took on the villain role. He had the Nike commercial where he was a Western bandit with the mask.
Right, he embraced it.
He embraced it. In that final series, he was awful. Because he tried to take over when he was not the go-to guy. I think maybe a game two against Dallas is almost reminiscent of that sort of thing.
I don't know. We'll see. I think we have to let this play out.
We do.
I'm going to have to look into that because I haven't seen. I just thought KD is just being KD. And I've always said this. I've always criticized OKC when it comes to this. I just don't know if you can have two ridiculously good players and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant on the same team and have success. What I will say is, this is why I love Russell Westbrook, why he's one of my favorite players in the league, is that he has modified his game when it comes to getting his teammates involved.
He has.
Russell
yes, he
Westbrook
has.
Is among the league leaders in this year's playoff when it comes to assists. He is sharing the basketball, getting his teammates involved. Russell Westbrook is saying, you know what? I can score. Yeah, I can do that. But if I'm not getting my teammates involved, I'm starting to see that we don't have success. So he's modified his game, which I love. So we'll see how this plays out. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's talk about the Detroit Tigers before we hit our first break here. The Tigers finally got out of a four-game slump yesterday, topping the Oakland A's. And, you know, again, a four-game losing streak. It was a 7-3 win over the A's yesterday. Miguel Cabrera finally getting out of a hitting slump with two opposite field homers and had four hits total on the night. And, you know, prior to this series, the Tigers had not won since April 20th, where they won the second of a three-game series against the Kansas City Royals. And it was the first time, because in that series, they got swept by Cleveland over the weekend. It was the first sweep at home by the Cleveland Indians since August of 2008. Yeah. And looking at the game prior to the A's, they completed the sweep for Cleveland over the Tigers. Drew Van Hagen, he gave up 5 runs on 7 hits in 1 1/3 innings of work. And that's the problem we've seen with the Wings. The starting pitching just has gotten the team in such big of a slump. The Tigers have been playing catch-up throughout most of those games. Miguel Cabrera, couldn't come through as a pinch hitter with bases loaded in the eighth inning in that rubber match against Cleveland. Well, in that third game of that set against Cleveland. And, you know, prior to that win over Oakland yesterday, for the first time this year, we saw the Tigers go under 500. So, you know, now let's hope that the Tigers are on up and up here now. I mean, you know, Jordan Zimmermann is a player who has been clearly the best starting pitcher on the roster. He has been lights out. Stellar once again, improved to 4-0 on the hill this year. And again, I want to say this, though, because it's so amazing. In the world of sports talk radio, in the world of 24-hour sports news, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that, okay, the Tigers are on a four-game losing streak. But again, they play so many games. We are just touching the surface of the Detroit Tigers year. And I heard people just completely bashing the Tigers when we're only a few games into the season. So hey, relax. There's a lot of baseball left to play. There's still a lot of, you know, there's certainly some wrinkles to iron out for this team. But again, it's so early that we can't start making hardcore assumptions here, all right? Yeah, four-game losing streak isn't great. It isn't great. But there's a lot of baseball left to play. But, you know, the Tigers' losing streak and them getting out of the hole really became a secondary story to what occurred last night when it comes to Detroit center fielder Tyler Collins. He appeared to have lost a fly ball in the Comerica Park Lights in the sixth inning last night, allowing it to drop in for a double. Then the Detroit fans out at Comerica Park, they started booing him. So what did Tyler Collins do? He decided to flip the bird. Yeah, folks, it's a moment that's been replayed and replayed since last night. And we do have post-game comments. And who is this coming from, Isaac?
I think this is Fox Sports, if I'm not mistaken.
From Fox Sports Detroit. Here are post-game comments concerning Tyler Collins and his displeasure with the Comerica faithful.
To hear booze come from the home crowd set off a fuse inside of me. And like I said, I lashed out and I shouldn't have.
So on the play, when did you lose the ball? Did you just never see it?
Yeah, it got up in that high skies, that dusk period, in one brief spot. And I mean, nobody, I'm looking around screaming, I don't see it. Nobody else sees it. It was unfortunate.
Was it almost like non-voluntary, like almost just reactionary? Like you hear the booze and you just react?
Completely. It was frustration. It was frustration. I don't want to hear that at home. You know, we deal with that enough on the road. With that being said, I should be more mature and more grown up than that to be able to deal with it. And that's where I apologize.
I guess where do you go from here? Obviously, it's...
There's tomorrow. What are you going to do? People are going to feel the way they feel. So I got to come to the yard ready to play tomorrow.
Yeah. You think that Collins regrets that, Isaac? Yeah, that was just a horrible moment. But, you know, when looking at this overall Tigers team, you know, you look at how they've been beaten up so far this year. We're waiting still to see, you know, James McCann return to the Tigers by the middle of this week. Of course, he went out with that right ankle sprain. He's gone 2-15 this year. Miguel Cabrera, though, entering game three against Cleveland, you know, he was in the midst of an 0-13 slide. And he went 0-1, you know, in that third game against Cleveland. And, you know, of his seven hits this year, only four are of the extra base variety. He's been struggling. Cameron Maben, we're still waiting on Cameron Maben to return for this team. And he actually, you know, looking at Cameron trying to get back into the fold when it comes to the Tigers, he played center field for the Toledo Mud Hens, and he injured his shoulder, presumably during a fifth inning dive for a catch on Saturday. So, you know, and he was slated to come back very soon for the Tigers. So this is a Tigers team that's been beaten up. You know, the starting pitching hasn't been stellar. The bullpen hasn't been great. The Tigers actually called up Jose Valdez from Toledo for a bullpen depth. And, you know, Shane Green, a blister on his right middle finger. So a lot of things are going wrong for this team right now, and they got to keep it together. I want to go to the phone lines right now. We have two callers on before we hit our first break. We've got Martin from Orchard Lake who wants to talk about the Tigers. Martin, how you doing?
Oh, man, you got to calm down, man.
I know. It's so, and I said that. You know, it's so early in the season, and everybody's hitting the panic meter here. But, you know, they play so many games in baseball. I'm not flipping my wig over this. I'm just stating what's in the present right now, all right? I know we got a lot of baseball left to play.
And so I was 162 of them things, man, exactly. My brother. But listen, so here's the thing, man. 2, 3, and 4, they're not going to hit this bad for the rest of the year. They're not even going to hit this bad for the rest of the month. Like, you saw Cabrera yesterday with 2 home runs. Upton's on pace to strike out, like, 300 times. That's just not – I mean, like, that's just not realistic. Well, I mean, my biggest concern with this Tigers team right now is starting pitching, because – you have JV, who you expect you expect that guy to be good for you this year, and he's got an ERA north of like 5, maybe 6. Mm-hmm. Sanchez can't find the plate. He's going out having 2 1/3 inning outings. Like, you need those two guys to go out there and be wins for you, because Mike Pelfrey, for damn sure, is not going to win you more than 5, 6 games.
Agreed. You know? Agreed.
So, and Shane Green, the blister thing, now you got guys like Drew Verhagen pitching long relief when they were really supposed to be starting in Toledo. And it's like, you know, it's a whole bunch of stuff that my main concern is the pitching staff. Because when you look back at when this team was really, really good, Sanchez was a strikeout king. Scherzer was winning Cy Youngs in 20 games. And Justin Verlander was Justin Verlander, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, they're not going to get back to that level of greatness with the guys that they have now. But with this lineup, if you look at this lineup is good. Like, 1 through 9?
One of the best in baseball.
One of the best. Like, you got to think, man. Like, Cabrera's obviously, I like to think Cabrera's back after hitting those 2 bombs yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And then the homer that Upton did hit, dude. 450 feet to the camera well in Comerica Park. Like, it was. I think he's going to have a big second half, because the numbers is just not going to bear out to where he's going to strike out 300 times. Like, that's impossible for me to believe that that could happen. I don't know. Maybe I'm irrational with that. And then with the Tyler Collins thing, bro.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
So this is my thought about it, because my first reaction was, when I saw it live, I was like, oh, that's a real dumb move. And I was like, what was he thinking? Obviously, I still think it's a dumb move. But if you think about it, dude, look at what Anthony Gosen is doing right now. He's striking out. He can't see the ball at all. And then you got, like you said before, Maben, if he can ever get healthy, they're rushing him back on the first thing up 75 north so he can get to Detroit. Because
exactly,
this center field play has obviously been a comedy of errors. But if you're Tyler Collins right now, you've got to think that maybe there's a spot for you on this team with the way that Anthony Gosen is playing. Like, maybe there's a spot for if he was able to stay up. He's a left-handed bat. Like, that's things that this team needs. Outside of Salty Imakia, you don't have another left-handed bat on the bench. It's worth a damn.
Right.
So, like, I'm thinking of Tyler, like, when he makes that play, he's like, damn, I just solidified it. I'm going back to Toledo. So,
yep.
I think that's what got to be what was going through his mind at that time period. Because, I mean, he's got to see the opportunity there.
Oh, it certainly is.
Terribly.
Exactly. I mean, especially with Maben out, you know what I mean? And you know, the to update people on that situation, the gesture will be reviewed by the MLB. A leaks person told that to ESPN.com, Nationals closer. If you remember Jonathan Papelbon, he was suspended 7 games and fined an undisclosed amount for making a lewd gesture. We all know what that gesture was in 2014 playing for the Phillies. What do you think is going to happen to Collins in this situation, Martin?
Nothing, man, nothing. I think he came out, he was contrite in his apology. I mean, they'll address it today before the game. But that's the good thing about baseball, dude. There's a game every single day.
Right.
There's a new story every single day. So guess what? Justin Upton comes out tomorrow and tonight and goes 3 for 4. No one even remembers Tyler Collins' name, you know? So I don't really think that anything will happen unless he doubles down on it some kind of way, which I don't think he is. And he seems, like, from everything that you can see from the way he plays the game and the way he carries himself in the media, he seems like a nice enough guy, you know. But I really think that – I don't think – it wasn't the fans that made him mad. It was – he got mad at himself.
You thought it was internal, like, frustration then.
Yeah, he's like, dude, yeah. He knows the reality. He's a 4A player, and he's like, I might have a shot to make it. I like to at least be on display for a little while Justin Upton can't hit anything and Cameron Maven's unhealthy.
Okay, that's an interesting take, Martin. And I have to disagree with you. I think the league is going to come down on him. I think we may – see maybe like a 4 or 5-game suspension with this gesture. I mean, it's become so big that you can't turn on ESPN without seeing it now. I think the league has to do something. I think we'll see him sit a few games, Martin. Martin, appreciate your call, though, man. Always good hearing from you.
No doubt, man. Keep doing your thing.
Hey, you know it. All right, let's hit our first break. I know we have Michael on the line. Mike, don't go away. I know you're one. When we come back, he'll be the first caller up, and then we got to get to our guest for today's show, Aaron Edwards, NBA dancer for the Detroit Pistons dance team. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, I am your host, Al Martin. Let's go to line two right now. We've got our dear caller and friend, Michael from Saginaw. And Mike, we got to make it quick. We got to get to our guest for today. What is on your mind, my friend?
What's on my mind is Drew Sharp wrote a question about the internet, the Twitter being celebrated for 10 years. And this probably will lend into your conversation about the center field on the Tigers. I remember... when he said that and everything, I think that's a five-game suspension. I really do. I think that's really a suspension. But here's what I want to talk to you about, too, is Kyrie Irving, what he did at the end of the game. And he was saying, is it proper that athletes should retort to the fans? Because it seems like now the way the fans are acting and everything, they act like everybody's talented, everybody's a win, everybody – it's always the player's fault. It's never the management's fault. It's no the general manager, the coaches, or even their fault for not supporting their players. And I just want you to opine on that because I'm serious about it. Okay.
All right. I see that, Mike. Appreciate your call, Mike. Thanks for calling. I have to disagree with Mike, though, Isaac. I mean, I think that in many regards, and I've let this be known countless times, that when it comes to fans. And who they blame for their team not reaching a certain point of expectation, I think that the coaches get way too much of the blame. I think that the players get the cop out, if you ask me. And that's just my thoughts on it. The lifespan of coaches, if you do not have immediate success, it's always about what have you done for me lately in today's sporting world. If you don't have immediate success within, I'll say the least is two years. Within those 2 years, if you ain't getting the job done, and if there is no progress, your seat becomes so hot. Perfect example, Mr. Brad Ausmus for the Detroit Tigers. Now, it is circumstantial. When you look at this Detroit Tigers roster for the past 5 years, this is a team that has been expected to compete for a World Series championship, let alone win one. And if you don't do that in your very first few years of shelf life, you're gone. Simple as that. If Brad Ausmus does not get the job done here, does not sniff the World Series, let alone win it, Brad Ausmus may get the boot, okay? And that just is how I feel about it. Now, again, I think that a lot of the players out there need to take more responsibility, and the fans kind of overlook that. They're always, you know, they always jump at the coach way too quick. That's just my thoughts on it, Isaac.
Heck, I don't forget know. Immediate success.
Right.
Recent success is enough to qualify. I look at Jim Caldwell for the Lions.
Of course.
Who, of course, made the playoffs his very first year as the head coach and showed great promise. They should have at least advanced around. Next year, there were rumors of him being fired. David Blatt in the NBA as well.
Right,
so
right.
There are so many examples where management is just impatient with coaches. And really, it's the players who aren't performing in many of those situations.
Totally agree. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. She is a dear friend of mine. We go back like four flats on the Cadillac. All right, we both went to Michigan State University together. She's always had an uncanny talent. In the world of dance, so much so that she has been a Detroit Pistons dancer, I believe now, for 2 years. And it's going to be an interesting discussion because, again, we want to go from the beaten path here and explore this realm of sports because it's not often that the cheerlead team or the dance team in athletics gets talked about, point blank period. So I got a few angles I want to attack this from, all right? But we have her on the line right now. Again, Aaron Edwards, NBA dancer for the Detroit Pistons dance team. Aaron, how you doing? What's up, E?
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
I am doing fantastic. She said Alan. Nobody even knows that my name is Alan. Everybody just knows me as
well,
Al
you
Martin.
You know, we go back like two flats.
Right, exactly. Now, E, I first want to start off by sort of examining, you know, your interest in the world of dance. First off, where do your roots start at in the world of dancing?
Well, of course, it starts out in the city of Detroit. I started dancing. I feel like I was a late bloomer in dance. I started off as a cheerleader originally, but age nine is when I got involved in Freedom Dance Expressions, and then I moved over to Motor City Dance Factory with Miss Camille Johnson. And then I was doing some dancing in my different middle schools. And then, of course, for high school, I went to Renaissance. Go Phoenix.
There you go.
And under the direction of Miss Tina Ellis. And so I've worked with a lot of great choreographers in my day. and then, of course, I went to Michigan State to dance with Urban Dreams, and also was a part of the dance program there under Sherry Barr. And so now I am with the Pistons with Natalie Miramontes.
Now, Aaron, I got to ask, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is your second year with the team, right?
Yes, this is my second season.
Now, Aaron, can you kind of take me through what that process like? For those, you know that want to be a part of this squad, again, very selective, what was the tryout process like when it comes to, you know, the upper echelons there? I don't know who they are, but when choosing, mm-hmm. you know, what girls fit their criteria to be a part of the team, what was that tryout process like? Can you kind of take me through that?
Yes. So it's different. It's different. So with my first year on the team and my second year now, we have did a lot of different things as far as the organization and changing how Pistons dance or Pistons entertainment is across the whole NBA. So now we're kind of more like theater production, and so we are like groundbreaking through the NBA in that arena. And so it was a totally different process from last year to this past season. So this season, with the audition process, it was so grueling. I thought I wasn't going to make it again. It was
hold on. Let me get this right, though, E. So even yeah. with you being, you joined the team your first year, they make you mm-hmm. retry out to be a part of the team the following year?
Yes.
Get out of here.
You
wow.
have to fight for your space. You have to fight.
Okay, so what's the tryout process like? Is it like two rounds, three rounds? How does that work? What do they do?
Well, actually, it was about 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Yes. Like so you could you came in and we did different styles of dance. There was we learned combinations. Of course, we got to the basics with technique and things like that. Kind of just see who are the dancers in the building, and then also some choreography that resembles the style of dance that we do, which is all types of dance styles. And so then we do some individual things where there will be, you go across the floor one at a time. We see what each young lady who's up for the challenge could give us, you know, what types of dancers are in the room. And just see what section it was even broken down to everybody didn't learn the same section, just like mm-hmm. how we do it with dancing on the court. Different girls aren't in every part because there's a section for this and a section for that and a section for that.
Right,
so we were chosen by either, you know, our expertise or just, you know, by the luck of the draw, who's gonna go where. And so that's how auditions were this past season.
So
separated. You just were separated by luck and, you know, all right, you girls do this, you know?
Right.
So it was great.
So how many girls are we talking about auditioning here, Aaron, on an average? You can put a number on it. How many girls came out to tryouts and did that number decrease throughout the 5 weeks and how many ended up in that final round?
So last year it was over 100 girls. It was a lot of girls that tried out in and around Metro Detroit. And then this past year, yes, it was invites only to come and audition. So girls who, if you knew girls on the team already, and we know that you're a dancer and interested in auditioning, then we sent out an email to our director, Natalie, to have her reach out and invite the girls who we knew from previous bands around to come out. So that's how it was, or any girls who were interested from previous seasons who auditioned or have just reached out throughout the season. So it was a definitely a small group, and that weeded out a lot of non-dancers,
right,
or girls who were really just really passionate and really wanted to be on the team. And you either came or you got, you know, you're cut.
You got cut. And I know that's got to be a heartbreaking process for those that really are dedicated to the craft. How many open spots every year are there before I get to the really good stuff of this interview? How many open spots?
About five or less.
Five Maybe? Or less?
Yeah.
Hold on. So you're telling me that there are only five open slots every single year?
Well, it give or take, but really,
how many are on the team right now?
Our dancers, there's 15 of us.
Okay. And they make you all retry out?
Yes.
So for 15 spots?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow,
for all
interesting
15
stuff.
Spots. So all 15, I guess, you know what? All 15 spots are open at this point, I suppose.
Right, because the season just ended. Yeah, I was hoping that, you know, I'm a big Detroit Pistons fan. I was hoping that this interview was going to take a different tone, seeing as other Pistons could have possibly still been in the running in the NBA playoffs, but that didn't happen.
I know.
But you know what, Aaron? I want to switch the mood here really briefly, because there was a report that really sparked my interest in getting you on for this interview. A report done by HBO Sports. Real Sports with Brian Gumbel is the show. And Andrea Kramer, who is an acclaimed sports journalist in our industry, she did a really remarkable job at looking at cheerleaders in the NFL. I want to play a snippet of that report really briefly before we continue. Here we go.
On a team that spends about $125 million on its players per year, Lacey and the rest of the squad were told they'd get just $125 per game. And that was the good news.
How much did you make for practices?
Zero.
How much did you make for photo shoots?
Zero.
How much did you make for team meetings?
Zero.
How much did you make for workouts?
Nothing. Zero.
But the reality is, if you don't want to do it, and if you don't like the pay structure, how many other women are there that are very happy to take your place?
You know, probably a lot, but does it make it right? There's a lot of jobs out there where tons of people would love to be a reporter. Does that mean you don't deserve to be paid for your talent, for your time, for your hard work?
What Lacey didn't know at the time was that her experience was not the exception around the NFL, but the rule. In fact, next to some, her $125 a game looked pretty good.
What were you paid for home games?
Nothing.
You had to be paid for the games. That's what you're actually doing as a cheerleader, right?
Right. But no, we were not paid.
Alyssa and Maria were cheerleaders for the Buffalo Bills, known as the Buffalo Jills.
We were thinking, who are we to question this contract?
Yeah, I mean, you just have this adrenaline rush. You know, we just made the Bills cheerleading squad. We were going to be NFL cheerleaders.
They told us they went into debt to cheer for the team. Alyssa using student loan money to pay for her $650 uniform. And they say that wasn't the worst indignity they faced.
You have to perform 10 jumping jacks, and that's what was called the jiggle test. So they could see, you know, if any parts of your body were jiggling.
Are you serious? You do jumping jacks?
But you're basically told sometimes that day in practice that you're not going to perform on the field.
Which happened to me.
You failed a jiggle test?
I did. I was devastated. I started crying. You're very emotional because that's what you work so hard for, is to cheer at these games.
All right. Again, that was a report from HBO Sports, Andrea Kramer, reporting on the lifestyle of NFL cheerleaders. And again, folks, if you're just now joining us here to WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Aaron Edwards, NBA dancer for the Detroit Pistons dance team. Now, Aaron, you knew that bite was coming. I sent that to you before today's show, and the immediate response I got via text message was, that's a little bit dramatic. Are there any parallels between that lifestyle that you just heard in that piece in comparison to what you guys do with the Pistons?
Well, if you want to ask about parallels, I mean, yes, no, yes, no. We don't get paid like the ballers on the court. But, yeah, that clip was quite extreme. As a dancer for Detroit Pistons Entertainment, we do get paid for all, which we perform all home games. So we get paid for all home games, all halftime performances, halftime rehearsals, regular rehearsals, and special appearances. So the only things that we don't, or events that we don't get paid for, mm-hmm. Are community service opportunities. But that's when, you know, we're giving back freely to the community.
Aaron, is the wage livable?
Livable to an extent, yes. I'm sure the way, yes, the wage is livable, but
so you can make a full time job out of what you get paid for the Pistons dance team.
Repeat that, please.
You can make this a full time job and live comfortably off of what you get paid with the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, see, that's what I was gonna say. No, comfortably, okay. to live how I want to live.
Okay.
No, and let me, before we continue on, let me set the record straight, please, that this interview, yes, is my perspective mm-hmm. within my experience dancing for Detroit Pistons Entertainment. And so every NBA organization runs differently.
It varies,
no,
then.
Don't
okay.
laugh. Yeah.
So what? It's not the same all around. And I just want to know, because you hear you heard that snippet from when it comes to the cheerleaders for the Dallas Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills. What's the schedule like? Is the schedule like a full-time job for you guys on an average week? How many hours do you put into your craft as a dancer for the Pistons?
Wow. Fucking hours, man. Seriously, it feels like it's 8 days a week. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Our dance schedule with regards to if we're not rehearsing, then it's a game. If we're not at a game, then we may be requested for an appearance. And so it's pretty gruesome. And then again, too, with the structure changing, with it being more of a production style happening with our entertainment team, it is a lot, you know, it's new for everyone. It's new for our upper management. It's new for the dancers. It's new for our directors. So so with that, we have to put in more work for hours, you know, for lighting to get what they need to get, and you know, everything to work with mm-hmm. all the halftime performances with the artists that come in. It's a lot.
So it's a lot.
I hold a full time job though, outside of dancing.
And that was my next question. I mean, when you look at the other 14 young women who are a part of the team, do most of you guys have a second job in order to equate that wage that you get paid with the Pistons?
Well, so it's about half and half. There are half of us who are full-time students, mm-hmm. and then they're in college, and then there are half of us who have already graduated from college with our degrees and have literal full-time jobs. And so that it's totally different, you know, from our lifestyles, but then at the same time, we're exactly the same because we all have to be there for the Pistons. And so everything that we're involved in, I'm just so thankful that you know, my boss outside of the palace, I work for the agency events, and she's so supportive of me and dancing.
That is fantastic, and yeah, you've said nothing but good things when I've chatted about your experience with the Detroit Pistons organization, Ian. I know you love being a part of the Pistons organization as a team dancer, and you heard in that snippet, E, and I found this just my jaw dropped when they said that they go through a jiggle test. You know, doing jump on jacks,
right?
If you jiggle, that's a problem. I got to know, how important is body image and beauty when it comes to the selection process for what girls they want a part of their organization? And how tough is it to maintain that image, if it is true, throughout a year?
Right. Well, every dancer on my team is gorgeous. but it is really tough. I mean, sometimes with all the stress of life outside of Pistons Entertainment, and then dancing, it's stressful. It shows up on our face. You know, we have to, you know, wear our makeup. We have to do our hair all the time, and we have to be on point all the time. And so that's pretty tough in itself. So we try to help each other out and be supportive of one another. But then also too, we're dancing all the time. So it is where we can keep our bodies maintained and be at a comfortable weight for ourselves. And we're totally not all the same size at all. But we maintain our weight per individual. And it's not like we're on a scale. No, we don't get weighed in or anything like that. But it is like you want to look good for yourself and for, you know, all the fans and for the cameras and everything, because those are some big screens up there.
Have they let you guys know that you have to maintain a certain weight, or have you ever seen a fellow player or a teammate, I should say, get lashed for not maintaining that image?
Man, we have had, within both the seasons that I've been on the team, we have had teammates benched for weight. Which
really?
It's just like, yeah, and that's tough too, you know, because that doesn't make her feel good. We, you know, we missed our teammate dancing with us on the court. So it's like a supportive thing that we have to, you know, if she's got to go harder in the gym or something.
Is that fair, Erin? Is that fair?
That's a really judgmental question. Thanks.
I'm just saying.
Is it fair? I don't think it's necessarily fair if my teammate has, you know, this is her body. This is her body. This is, or my body. And I've been looking like this all season. I haven't gained too much weight, or, you know, I haven't gained weight to be noticeable yet. All of a sudden you choose a certain time to bench me. That I don't think is necessarily fair. If it's not like an outrageous weight gain or something, which it hasn't necessarily been the case. But then too, you know, maybe whoever's in charge of making that call sees something that I don't see. You know, because
right.
we're with each other every day.
Perception, you know, is reality, right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, only 2 minutes left here in the show, and you know this question is coming, E. And I kind of know the answer that I'm going to get. I know I'm going to get a politically correct answer, but I know that there are rules. There's do's and don'ts when it comes to your team in relation to the Pistons, who are the players out there on the court.
Mm-hmm.
One of the rules is you cannot date one of the players, and if you're caught, that's it. You're done. Have you ever seen that happen?
Yes.
You have seen it happen. And how did they get caught, and what happened? Really quick.
What? Oh, man. All right.
I think you're going to – I think I'm, I know the answer I'm going to get here, but I think it's going to be very politically correct. Go ahead. 1 minute.
Right. Okay. Well, basically, a relationship is happening, or, you know, gets found out, and ain't going to come because, I mean, he's what the money – he's the investment. So,
right.
Unfortunately,
you've seen
not
it happen.
Fair.
Right.
I'm sure she was pursued by him. You know, I'm sure it was not the other way around at all. So, but she gets reprimanded for you know,
okay.
Engaging.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to bring you back. We only got 30 seconds left, but it was fantastic. Yeah, we're going to bring you back and dive into the other aspects to your job. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the relationships that you develop with other artists who come to the Palace. So would you be willing to come back on the show very soon?
Okay. That sounds like fun.
There we go. Erin Edwards, Detroit Pistons dancer for the NBA's Pistons squad. Erin, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, again, folks, you've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a great afternoon. And be easy, people.